need to get an attorney
because
I don't even know what's going on.
I don't know what's going on either.
I don't either.
That's up to you. I was wanting
to
talk
either.
Kim, I was wanting to talk to you because you're the one who said you wanted to talk to me.
And I do because
I don't know. I don't know what went on out there, but I do have to advise you what your rights are. So if you want to talk to me, we can try to figure this out. I'll need your signature, but you don't have to answer questions. Okay? It's up to you. You want to talk to me, though?
I want to talk to you because I think that you'll help me. I mean.
Welcome or welcome back. I'm Cassie, and this is A Wicked World. The story I have for you today is one that many people still debate whether or not they punished the right person. And while it may seem obvious who killed this boy at first, some of the details just don't make sense. This is the story of Austin Anderson. Austin Anderson was born July 28, 2007, to Robert Anderson and Kimberly Lightwine. Austin was autistic, as well as blind in both of his eyes. He also suffered from a lack of muscle growth in one of his knees, which caused it to pop out of place if it bent the wrong way. This limited how much he could walk. In addition, Austin wasn't able to feed himself, use the bathroom on his own, give himself medication, or hold a complete conversation. According to Austin's father, he had the cognitive abilities of a fourth or fifth grader, so he was completely dependent on his parents. Austin was described as a sweet boy who was very loved. He also really liked listening to rap music, especially Eminem and Nelly. Austin also loved Hot Wheels, anything to do with water, and playing on his lap piano. He also very much enjoyed the sound of the vacuum cleaner, so much in fact that he would get upset when his mom was done cleaning the house and had to turn it off. Now, Austin's parents would divorce when he was only a baby, and he would live primarily with his mother, Kimberly. However, he would still see his father every couple of weeks. At some point, Kimberly had also developed a dangerous methamphetamine addiction, which she would struggle with on and off for most of her life. August 29, 2016, in Polk County, Missouri, was a very hot summer day, with temperatures reaching 91 degrees Fahrenheit. That afternoon, Polk County Sheriff's officers would find both Kimberly and Austin laying face down in a field, about 20 feet apart from one another. Austin was only wearing a diaper, and Kimberly only underwear. Not far from them was Kimberly's Ford Expedition. As police approached the two, they realized that Kimberly was still breathing. Austin, however, was not. Kimberly, who was feeling very dehydrated at the point, asked the police officer for some water. As the officer went to grab her some water, Kimberly began yelling things about how she and God had brought her baby into this world, and she now needed God's help to take him out of this world. After Kimberly had taken a sip of water, she was finally able to calm down a little bit, and she spoke to the officer named Billy Simpson. She said, "Billy, I killed my son. I killed my son." So Kimberly was brought down to the police station and interviewed. At that point, she told officers that she had smoked some methamphetamine, then gotten into her car with her son and driven to the middle of the field. Kimberly said that she did not know why she had brought her son to that field, and she didn't know how long they had even been there for, though she does remember that they arrived sometime when it was daylight. Kimberly also multiple times insisted to officers that it was just her and Austin in that field, nobody else. When an officer first asked Kimberly what had happened in the field, she replied, "I'm a terrible mother. I got high, I got depressed, and I think I'm going to throw up." Also, multiple times during this interview, she would repeat, "I killed my kid, I killed my kid, I killed my kid." Kimberly also recalled telling Austin to get out of the car and go reach for help. She told him to put his arms in front of him, and God was going to take care of him. Even though Austin had a hard time walking, he still kept going back to his mom that day in the field, saying, "Mom, Mom," because he was hot, hungry, dehydrated, and probably in pain from not having his medication, and all he wanted was his mommy. But Kimberly would push him away and tell him, "No, you don't want to love me. Please, just let God take you." The officer who was interviewing Kimberly asked if she wanted to get rid of Austin so that she could take away his pain. She stated that she actually wanted to get rid of her son because she knew she was a bad and destructive mother. She said she hadn't wanted Austin to die, but she wanted somebody to reach out for him and take him. Okay. At one point, Kimberly even told the officers that she had clambered on top of her Ford Expedition and began yelling, "You motherfuckers, I'm sick of your shit, I'm sick of your shit, come bring it on." She said she was mad as hell, but could not remember why. Kimberly then said she kept thinking that these bad people were coming, and at one point, she had to shove Austin through barbed wire in order to get him away from them. She said he was cut up pretty badly. However, there were no injuries on Austin's body to support this claim. Even though Kimberly had no idea how long the entire ordeal had lasted, she told police that she knew that the entire time they had no food, no water, and Austin hadn't taken his medication. During those hot days out in the sun, as Austin was dying, he cried out for Kimberly, saying, "I want to go home, Mommy. I want to go home." But she just kept ignoring him and said she needed to block it out. Austin had a hard time walking, but he kept coming back to his mother, saying, "Mom, Mom." He was hot, thirsty, not feeling good, and all he wanted was his mommy. But Kimberly kept pushing him away. She would tell him, "No, you don't want to love me. Please, let God take you." She then made the statement of, "This is a crazy and fucked up world I choose to live in, and I killed my kid." She continued on, "It's my fault, and you should charge me for murder and my son's death right now. I'm not kidding. That kid would not be dead right now if it wasn't for me." The odd thing was, Kimberly had a broken leg as well as a broken jaw.
Put it on this chair?
Yeah, I'm starting to feel like numb. All right. I don't know.
Can you lift it up?
I don't know.
There.
Yeah, it started. Oh, yes, I got it. You got it.
All right, there you go. Is that better?
Did you? Oh, look at it.
Okay.
Ow.
Are you okay? Do you need a second?
Ow, it hurts. Okay. Don't you kill me, look, it's turning. It hurts.
All right.
You don't fix it.
What do you want me to do? Is that better?
I don't know, but it hurts.
You want me to put it back down?
Yeah.
All right, ready? Here. Just put it right there. You need a second? Okay. Did you tell the...
That hurts so bad.
Okay. Did you tell the people in the ambulance that your leg hurt?
Well, I didn't do it. It didn't hurt like that then.
All right, well, then take a second. We can get it looked at if you want to
get it
looked
at. No,
it's okay.
It's okay. I think it's just how we move in a certain way. I don't know.
Well, if that's the case, let's try to talk fast so that we can get you as comfortable as you can, okay? Is that all right? All right, you said you understood what I read to you?
Yes.
Okay.
That came from the cold. That wasn't as cold.
It wasn't as cold. I'll make sure it's as cold. Hey, they need you to sign here that they checked on you, okay? And then you and me can talk. They just need you to sign something.
Signature is just stating that you didn't have any medical complaints for this, that your vital signs were good, and that
I'm
you
good.
Didn't want to go to the hospital. Just sign with your finger in this green box.
Where?
In this green box.
Okay. Just sign my name?
Yes.
I don't even...
It's all right.
Okay,
that's
okay. Perfect. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, Kim. I will get you some more water, okay?
Hey.
I'll make sure it's cold.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, if that's the case, let's try to talk fast so that we can get you as comfortable as you can, okay? Is that all right? All right, you said you understood what I read to you?
Yes.
Okay. That was done here at the Polk County Sheriff's Office. Kim, I need your signature here saying that you understood what I read to you, okay?
Do I need to get an attorney? Because I don't even know what's going on.
I don't know what's going on either.
I don't either.
That's up to you. I was wanting
I don't
to talk
either.
To, Kim, I was wanting to talk to you because you're the one who said you wanted to talk to me.
And I do because
I don't know. I don't know what went on out there. But I do have to advise you what your rights are. So if you want to talk to me and we can try to figure this out, I'll need your signature. But you don't have to answer questions, okay? It's up to you. You want to talk to me, though?
I want to talk to you because I think that you'll help me.
After she was questioned, Kimberly was sent to a hospital in Springfield, Missouri. And after that, she was sent to Polk County Jail, where she was charged with second-degree murder and second-degree elder abuse. In Missouri, a disabled adult is covered under the definition of elder abuse. Her bond was set for $250,000, and she was facing 10 to 30 years in prison for the murder charge and 20 years for the elder abuse charge, if she was convicted. When an autopsy was done of Austin's body, the medical examiner found that he had a swollen brain and he had died of dehydration. He possibly had gone into shock as well from not having his medication. At the time, authorities believed that Austin could have died as many as 3 days prior to him and Kimberly being found. Austin's father told police that his son required hydrocortisone medication. Without it, he would fall into a coma and die. Austin's autopsy also revealed that he had one collapsed and one shriveled adrenal gland. These glands produce and release hormones, which help to manage blood sugar levels, as well as the balance of salt and water in the body. Austin's body would not have produced these. Therefore, his medication was very necessary. The day before the mother and son had been found in the field, a family member of theirs had actually called the police to say that they were missing. An employee at the Country Inn Motel said that Kimberly had checked in and she recalled last seeing her 2 days before she was found in the field, on August 27th, around 2 p.m. When police searched the room where the mother and son had stayed, they found a partially full bottle of hydrocortisone as well as evidence of methamphetamine use. A few witnesses would also come forward saying that 2 days before Kimberly and Austin had been found in the field, Kimberly was in that area asking for directions. And it was just her and Austin, no kidnappers. When Austin's father spoke with police, he told them that Kimberly had a very bad and violent temper. He recalled an incident in which Austin had accidentally kicked his mother in the head when she was trying to put him into bed as he couldn't do so himself. When he did this, she allegedly grabbed his arm, pulling him towards her, and screamed in his face. So even though Kimberly had confessed multiple times over multiple hours, her sister, Stephanie, spoke with her and said that she had gotten her side of the story, and things were not as they seemed. Stephanie did not think that police were properly investigating what had happened to Austin. Stephanie believes that Kimberly was actually lured out of her apartment along with Austin. When she got out to the parking lot, three people abducted the two of them, then drugged up Kimberly, drove them out to the field where they beat Kimberly and left the two for dead. Stephanie also insisted that when Kimberly made the comment to police that she had killed her son, she only meant that she was unable to get up off the ground to care for his needs. I don't know about that. Stephanie also said that anybody who knew her sister knew she would not hurt Austin because she loved him very much. Stephanie knew that Kimberly had a history of drug use. She said she wasn't sure if the abduction had anything to do with that or not. Though she did say Kimberly knew the people who abducted her, but she was unsure of their motivation. And another one of Kimberly's sisters said that she had been raped during the incident because afterwards she was swollen, bruised, and damaged down there. In addition, she was upset that her sister had been questioned before she had even been brought to the hospital because she was still very much drugged up. She said some of Kimberly's statements were not even making any sense, and 2 days later, Kimberly was still unable to form full sentences. In addition, Kimberly's sister said her leg wasn't just broken, but it was severely broken, and her head and hair had appeared to have been dragged.
Sister of the woman accused of murdering her special needs son says that woman is a victim.
Some of the decisions she made in life were not correct. I agree with that. But she would never intentionally hurt her son. She loved him more than life itself.
Sloga is reading this court document for the first time.
A lot of stuff that she is putting in here is stuff that she wasn't in her right mind.
This document says Lightwine repeatedly said, "I killed my baby."
I think it's horrible. It's untrue.
This probable cause statement says that Lightwine threw her son over the barbed wire fence to get away from the bad people.
Austin didn't have a mark on him. He didn't have a mark on him. You throw somebody through a barbed wire fence, they're going to have marks all over them, cuts, scrapes.
Sloga believes her sister was so high on drugs, she was hallucinating.
She had a crushed leg. She's not going to be able to throw anything over back and forth over a fence.
But she does believe her sister had been raped, possibly by drug dealers.
They're sick people. Very sick people.
This is what was on her leg.
She had ink pen writing all over her leg. A lot of it we couldn't make out. I did make out the word liar, and there was a penis drawn on her leg.
And she is tearfully asking for Polk County deputies to investigate what she believed happened.
It's a struggle.
Kimberly's family was also saying that Austin was found inside the car. He was never found laying in the field like Kimberly had, which was a contradiction to what the police report read. Austin's dad's family didn't think the police were telling them everything either, and they didn't think that it had been properly investigated, believing that Kimberly loved her son way too much to ever hurt him. One of these relatives insisted that Kimberly was just asking Austin to get them help that day in the field. But she didn't think they would have been abducted, as she believed, had Kimberly not chosen the lifestyle she had. Many people wanted the search for Austin's killer to resume. They did not believe that it was Kimberly, and many to this day still do not believe that it was her. Kimberly posted bond in October of 2016, and then she would take a plea deal in May of 2018 and pled guilty to first-degree involuntary manslaughter, as well as second-degree elder abuse. Kimberly's attorney also believed that she and Austin had been kidnapped by three people and then left in the field to die. He also believed that she had been sexually assaulted. However, a rape kit was never performed. Despite there being some issues with the state's evidence, Kimberly's attorney had advised her to take the plea deal. This was because he was worried about going to trial, since Kimberly did not have a clear memory of what had happened. And if her case was taken to trial, she was facing a potential life sentence. Kimberly also said that she felt like pleading guilty was her way of accepting responsibility for her involvement in the drug world, which ultimately contributed to her son's death. Then at one point during this hearing, Kimberly would ask her lawyer to step out of the courtroom. She then told the judge that she believed her legal representation had been inadequate for the last few months. She claimed that depositions, including those with first responders, and the people that she accused of attacking her and her son, were not carried out. Kimberly also said her lawyer did not answer many of the questions that she had.
Kimberly Lightwine has admitted to using illegal drugs before her son's death from dehydration and not receiving his medication. But today in court, she wore a t-shirt that read, "Kimberly is innocent." Her case has drawn many supporters.
I started seeing things, you know, reported that didn't make sense to me. I don't know her personally. They're walking our streets, and they have gotten away with this.
At one point, Lightwine broke down in uncontrollable crying, leading to a court recess. She told family members she's tired of being made out to be a murderer and wants the truth out. She told the judge her car from the crime scene was sold with crucial evidence inside, but the Polk County Sheriff's Office says it did process the car for evidence.
There's a lot of questions unanswered. I don't think it's right. I don't think she did this, but that's my opinion. The facts suggest there's more to the story, and it's just been buried.
Ultimately, she was ordered to complete a 120-day substance abuse treatment program. And if she did complete this, she would be released immediately and put on probation for 5 years. If she did not complete it, she would spend up to 7 years in prison. So being her best option, Kimberly completed the drug treatment program. And in February of 2019, she was again a free woman. She acknowledged that she had made some bad decisions to put her and her son in danger. But she still insists that she is a victim of an abduction as well as an unfair legal system. To this day, Kimberly says that she does not remember the interrogation that she initially had with police. She was coming down from being drugged, she was dehydrated, she had a broken jaw, and a broken leg. She should have been taken to the hospital before she was interrogated. Now, Kimberly claimed that while she had been using methamphetamine regularly, she had actually quit about a month before her and Austin had been abducted. She, however, believed that some of her associates thought that she would tell police about their criminal activities. So, they abducted her, drugged her, raped her, beat her, and then left her and her son in the middle of the field. But if that's the case, how did her car get there unless they drove her car and another car, because there was three of them, and then they just left her car there with her so she could get away? Why would they leave her car there if the intent was to kill her? She also said that when she had told detectives that she had killed her son, she was simply expressing guilt as a mother for not being able to save him. And even though she doesn't remember what happened in the field, as it's all still a blur, she's certain it was an abduction because that's all that makes sense.
Had I never chosen to use that drug or been around those type of people, we would not have ended up in that field. Mm-hmm. So when I took the plea of involuntary manslaughter, I felt like that was me accepting responsibility mm-hmm. for the choices that I made Do I remember exact events of what exactly what they'd done? No, I don't. I was drugged, I was beaten, and I was raped. I remember looking up and seeing the cops, and I remember thinking that they were going to help me. Mm-hmm. And I just remember going in and out of consciousness. And then I remember being in interrogation, and I couldn't hold my head up. And I remember thinking that this detective was protecting me. And I remember telling him, please don't leave me alone, that I thought they were going to come back and finish me off. And I remember feeling like he was helping me. Mm-hmm. And when I look back at this, I have no words. When I said, oh my gosh, my son's dead. I killed him. It's my fault. Mm-hmm. Any mother that has made any kind of choice or that could not save her child or protect her child from any kind of evil is going to feel responsible. And that is exactly where that was coming from. And I want to make that clear.
She also said the treatment program has helped her a lot and she can now better cope with things. While Austin did not walk much and required her constant attention, Kimberly said that was just normal for her, and that's why it hurt so much when people who were following the story assumed that she had just snapped under the daily pressure of having to take care of her disabled son. But she said that she never thought of Austin as a burden. Austin Anderson's funeral was held on September 7, 2016, at Fawn Funeral Home in Cassville, Missouri. Austin was then buried at the Mount Pleasant Cemetery in Butterfield, Missouri. Well, thank you for listening to all of Austin's story today. The way Austin died is horrible. Not only was he dehydrated and not getting his necessary medication, causing his system to shut down, but his mother, who he loved more than anything in this world, as she said herself, was pushing him away and ignoring his pleas as he died. It is so incredibly sad, and keep in mind, he was also blind, so it makes it even crueler. But my other question is, if it indeed was Kimberly who killed Austin, how did she get those words scratched on her skin in places that she couldn't reach? And did she break her own leg if she was the one that did it? It doesn't really make sense. What do you think? So, if you do like true crime and you want to hear from me, don't forget to hit that subscribe button below, and turn on the notifications too, so you'll know when I upload a new video, which is 2 to 3 times every week. Thanks for watching A Wicked World today. Until next time, take care, guys. Bye. Thank you for being patrons of A Wicked World. Adina, Alana, Allie, Amanda, Amberly, Amy, Angela, Angie, Brandy, Brother Mike, Carrie, Catherine, Cecilia, Celia Cruz, Claire, Danielle, Danny J, Drew, Eric, Frank, Georgia, Haley, Hanorama, Hannah, Jackie, Jen, Jennifer, Josie, Kara, Christy, Kristen, Lori, Lindsay, Mandy, Marion, Mary, Mel, Mimi, MJ Kelly, Neoma, Nikki, Owen, Ray, Robin, Sharon, Starlet Sky, Stephanie O, Stephanie T, Susan, Suzanne, Tamra, Tammy B, Tammy S, Tracy UK, and Whisper 216. You guys rock. Now, there's even more of A Wicked World on Patreon. So check it out at patreon.com/awickedworld or use the Patreon app. You'll have access to exclusive videos each month and more. Any support truly helps to make sure the victims never get forgotten and to highlight the shortcomings of society associated with each case. Do you have a suggestion for a case you'd like to see me cover? If so, send me an email at awickedworldtruecrime@gmail.com.